This morning, if you would please take your Bible and open to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. This particular chapter has 20 verses, and we're going to read through the entire chapter. This chapter, of course, is spoken by Moses to the children of Israel after they have, you know, the generation that was taken off into captivity, so to speak, they had died off, and the next generation had taken its place. And the book of Deuteronomy as a whole is Moses giving again the law to the people that now are adults who maybe were born while they were gone, or maybe they were young when they were taken away from their homeland. So God is giving again through Moses the law to the people. And there's something very important that's talked about in this chapter, chapter 8. Moses speaking to the folks about not forgetting God. The title of my message this morning is very simply, The Peril of Forgetting God. The Peril of Forgetting God. And perhaps you're aware of this, I hope that you are, but I believe myself, many people do, that God was involved in the beginnings of our nation. And God was involved in all the 250 years that we've had thus far. And I believe, and this is my point, you'll see it, I think, as we go along, that if we want our nation to continue, if we want our liberties and freedoms to continue, if we want God's blessings to continue, then we have to make sure that we don't forget who is the one behind the scenes who's making all this happen. It's really not you, and it's really not me, and it's really not President Trump or any of our national leaders. It really is God Almighty. And so we dare not forget that, all right? And that's really the whole premise of my message today, the peril of forgetting God. You know, we saw this in the Old Testament, and this is why the Old Testament is there, of course, is to remind us that Israel did forget God. And they went through all kinds of trials and tribulations because of that. Now, there were different times when they came back to God, and of course, God blessed them over and over. We see this pattern happen in their life. But they were constantly forgetting who it was behind the scenes that was doing all the good things for them. And again, it's important for us as Americans that we don't forget who is our unseen guest watching over us and taking care of us and providing for us. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, beginning at verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil or oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, and I realize it's not technically a captivity, but the children of Israel, formed in Egypt, brought out by God's mighty hand, and then brought right to the borders of the promised land, and because of the 10 spies that basically made everybody afraid, two of them, of course, Joshua and Caleb, were willing to go in and take it because, after all, God said, we can have this. It's ours. Let's just go forward and do it. But the other 10 spies convinced the people and put fear in their heart that they could not do it. Walled villages, giants, all those things. So where did the children of Israel spend the next 40 years? It was in the wilderness. And I realize you don't normally typically think about that as a captivity, but wasn't it in some ways a captivity? It's not like, I understand, Babylon or Assyria or something like that. But for 40 years, that generation of adults wasted away in the wilderness while their children came up behind them. And that's why the book of Deuteronomy is here. Because Moses had to re-give in many ways the laws that God had given to the adults who had passed away. God had to re-give that through Moses. And the word Deuteronomy literally means the second giving of the law. And so this chapter, chapter 8, is a stern warning to those now adults. Basically this: don't do what your parents did. Don't forget the Lord. Make sure that you listen to his word. Make sure you follow his commandments. Make sure, especially in the time of prosperity and blessing, when your fields are multiplied and your crops are multiplied and your flocks and your herds are multiplied and you're enjoying all the blessings of God, make sure, especially during those times, that you don't forget who it was that gave you all those wonderful things. Because if you do, much like the other nations around you and much like your parents, you will be destroyed. What a good warning for those people. But friend, what a good warning for us today. We've had 250 years of God's blessing. We've had 250 years as a nation of God not only forming us, but keeping us and watching over us and protecting us. It doesn't mean we haven't had issues and problems. We certainly have. But you can see the hand of God through all of the pages of history. And shame on us for writing God out of our history. So many of the old-time writings remind us that God was involved. So many of the newer writings, they leave God out of the picture altogether. So it's our responsibility, of course, as a church and me as a pastor, to remind us all again, who is behind the scenes doing all these good things? Well, it's God Almighty, and he's watching over us and taking care of us. So In our text this morning, we had Moses warning the children of Israel of the danger of forgetting God, which, of course, was a problem for them. It's been a problem throughout all of time. It's even a problem today. I think a lot of Americans have forgotten that God is responsible for giving us all these good things to enjoy. God's goodness and God's blessings upon us have resulted in a level of prosperity unmatched by most of the world. For many, many years, we've enjoyed this. God is the one who did that. James reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have what we have because of God. Like the passage mentioned here, don't ever get the idea that, well, my ability and my power made all this happen. God reminds them through Moses here, it's God that gives you power to make wealth. God is the one who even gives you the strength to go about your day and to do what you do to try to make wealth and take care of your family and pay your bills and all those wonderful things. God is involved in all that. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And again, my title, The Peril of Forgetting God. My first thought this morning is this: warnings against forgetting God. Warnings against forgetting God. There are warnings in the Bible about forgetting God, and we saw one of them here in this chapter in verses 11 through 14. If I may, I just want to read some of this again. Beware, verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then, and I don't know why, but that's when it tends to happen, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. There's the warning right there. There's many warnings like that in the Bible, friend. There's many warnings like that, Old and New Testament. And they're there for our reminding, to get us to stop and realize where all these blessings come from. In the Old Testament, of course, there were special feast days to remind the people of God's goodness and God's blessings. Two examples come to mind for me very quickly. One of them is the Passover feast. You remember the Passover was meant to remember that time in Egypt when the angel of the Lord came over during the night, and anybody who didn't have blood sprinkled on the doorpost of their house, the firstborn in that house was killed. From that came the Passover feast, which, by the way, is a reminder of the people's redemption. The people's redemption. All right? The blood had to be shed so that they could be redeemed and kept safe from the angel of death, all right? Well, think about you and I as we have the Lord's Supper this morning. We're reminded about our redemption, are we not? And the precious blood that Jesus shed for us to make us his child and to make us a member of his family. We're enjoying a lot of great blessings in America, but you know, greater than all of those put together is the blessing of redemption, which we have because of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Another example of a feast day, first of all, the Passover feast. Another one that come to mind for me is the first Feast of First Fruits. That was closer to the fall of the year when they were gathering in the harvest. And they were reminded again about God's blessings in their fields and the harvest and so forth. And it should remind them, of course, of God's goodness and blessings. It should remind us of the coming day when our Lord is going to come and retrieve us and take us home to heaven. And there's going to be a mighty harvest. And all of God's children are going to be captured and taken off to heaven. We're looking forward to that very, very much. Israel had many such feast days. I just gave you those two. But all of the feast days were meant to remind them of how good and gracious and kind God had been to them. Of course, in the New Testament, we have two ordinances that we observe. One is the Lord's Supper. We had that this morning. And the other is baptism. And both of those are to remind us again about what Jesus did for us on the cross and how good God is to us. We have reminders, of course, throughout the Bible. And then we also have, just very simply, everyone has this. Even non-churchgoers have this. Creation itself. The Bible tells us this, that creation is meant to show man the handiwork of God and to show them that there is a creator. People a lot of times want to try to convince us that evolution is responsible for putting everything here. I don't believe that. I hope you don't. I believe that for every creation there is a creator. And our creator is God Almighty. And he's the one that put us here. Everything that's here. And so we have creation to remind us that God is the one who put us here and put everything here. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God's creation is a daily reminder of his power and his control and his blessing. So, again, you get my point anyway. Warnings from God. There's many, all right? We had one here in chapter 8. We had the feast days, we have the New Testament ordinances, we have creation, and of course there's lots of reminders each and every day of God's handiwork and God's power and God's might and God's blessings. My second thought I wanted to mention this morning, first was warnings against forgetting God, and then secondly, when do men forget God? When do men forget God? Well, some men forget God in the time of peace. One of my favorite movies, I think you've heard me say this before, perhaps my very favorite movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Amen. Of course, I like Jimmy Stewart. He's one of my favorite actors. I realize he's gone, but his movies continue. And vast majority of them that I've seen, I've really enjoyed. But in that movie, of course, he gets a time where he gets to see what life would be like without his life on earth. And there's many wonderful lessons, I think, in that movie. But I wanted to mention the fact that in that movie, if you remember the movie, there's two different times, and they go by rather quickly, where people were called to prayer because of war. All right? And they have quick scenes of people walking into church and how that they went humbly before God and asked for his blessings because they were in a time of war. Well, you know what happens to men and women like us when we go through extended times of peace? We forget about that. And we have a tendency, not that we all do, but we have a tendency to forget about God. Now, of course, during wartime and during great tragedies and things like that, men tend to pray. Men tend to go to church, and I think many of us remember it's 9/11. I hesitate to bring it up because Alex is here. That's his birthday. But 9/11, you know, there were a lot of people that all of a sudden got a dose of the Lord in their life. Amen. I'm not against that. But I wonder where it went. Yeah. It didn't seem to last all that long. Yeah. You know, happy to see churches, you know, start filling up and things like that. And, of course, not that long ago, Charlie Kirk was killed. And there was a lot of emphasis about spirituality then, and people started, you know, going back to church and all. I don't know what you think about this, but this is my own personal opinion. America misses Charlie Kirk. I just really believe that. He had a profound impact on especially young people. And we need more Charlie Kirks in this world, my opinion. But again, we tend, as human beings, we have a tendency to forget God in a time of peace. When tragedies come, when difficulties come, when someone is, you know, very influential and they get assassinated or, you know, planes fly into the Twin Towers, you know, then people remember God all the time. But boy, in times of peace, we get complacent and we tend to forget God. We also tend to forget God in times of prosperity. That's mentioned here in this chapter, isn't it? When your fields and your flocks and all that increases and you get your belly full and, you know, you think, ah, look at what I have gathered and look at what I have done and all that kind of stuff. I think about in the New Testament, the man who, looked over his fields and saw all of his fields and his flocks and all that kind of stuff, and a mighty harvest coming in. And what shall I do? Well, I'll tear down my barns and build greater. Not realizing that night he was going to lose it all. And we all realize this, don't we? You and I could lose everything we have just like that. Just like that. It's only the goodness of God that even keeps our heart beating and our lungs working and all the different intricacies within our body functioning like they're supposed to. And then, of course, all that we have, it came from God. And when men forget God, when they forget that it's God that gives them power to make wealth and God that gives them power just to exist and to walk this earth and to work and to earn and to save and things like that, when they forget God and ascribe success to themselves, there's great danger in that. So when do men forget God? Well, in the time of peace, in the time of prosperity. Some men forget God. Listen, even in the time of adversity. I say, Pastor, you just mentioned adversity brings us back to church and back to God. And for many it does. But you know what happens to some? They get angry at God. They may not literally shake their fist at him, but they get angry and they blame God. And because of that, they walk away from him. Sometimes, rather than turning to him for help, they turn away from him. The time of adversity. So when do men forget God? Well, in time of peace, in time of prosperity, in time of adversity. And some men forget God in the time of important decisions. Especially in times of important decisions, friend, we need his advice. We need his help. We need his guidance and instruction to help us to make the right decision. I believe myself that if human beings are left to themselves, sometimes they'll make the right decision, but a whole lot of times they won't. And I say that from personal experience. Okay, how's that? Because I've done things, I've made decisions on my own, only to regret it later. But I can honestly say this, every time I've sought the Lord's advice and followed it, I've never regretted those decisions. So again, these are times when people forget God. Now, the first thought I talked to you about this morning is warnings against forgetting God. We have them here in this chapter, we have them in the feast days, we have them in the New Testament ordinances, we have them in nature itself, in creation. And then number two, when do men forget God? Some in time of peace, some in time of prosperity, some in time of adversity, some in time of important decisions. Here's my last thought today. Several subpoints, of course, you know me. All right, but my third main point, the dangers of forgetting God. The dangers of forgetting God. When men forget God, may not seem like much when I first say it, but think about it. When men forget God, they are left to their own limited reasoning and resources. When men forget God, they are left to their own limited reasoning and resources. I've described this to you before, but I want to do it again today, just to illustrate my point. If you and I were able to look out that back window and watch a parade going by, we would see everything that's right in front of those windows. If it was going to my right, we would see everything that's right in front of those windows. We might be able to catch a little bit of what's already passed, but a lot of what's passed us, it's gone because you're looking straight out the windows. We might be able to see a little bit of what's coming to my left, but most of it we wouldn't be able to see because it's too far left. We're looking straight out the windows. Okay? You and I in our life are much like that. We can see pretty much everything that's in front of us. And we might remember a little bit what just passed. We might even be able to see a little bit of what's coming. But listen to this. God is like someone up in a helicopter that's looking down on the parade, sees the whole parade at once. And I want all of us to remember this morning that God sees your life and my life, all of it, at one time. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly how long we'll live. He knows exactly where we'll be today, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from today. God sees the whole lifetime at once. So please understand that when you think about making your own decisions, you're very limited. You only see just a little bit of your life. And because we only have limited reasoning and limited resources, wouldn't it be foolish to just rely on our own reasoning and resources rather than looking to God Almighty, who sees the whole life at once? You know, there was a time, some of you have heard some of these things before, I understand that. You know, if you're with a pastor for a while, you're going to have that, okay? You already know that, but this little lady down here in the front row, I'm so glad that God made sure I married her. Amen. I really am. Thank you, April. Thank you. Because I had another girl in mind before Sarah. She knows that. And we had dated for 5 years, and it was getting pretty serious. And I went off to basic training and got a break, you know, got a leave, and got to come home. And I thought, well, I'll surprise her with a ring when I get back home. I was going to ask her to marry me. And I had a nice ring, beautiful ring. At least I thought it was. Of course, what do men know? But I wanted to present it to her, and I found out when I got back on this leave, while I was gone, she had met someone else. And so the 5 previous years were all out the window. I don't mind telling you, I was crushed. I was crushed. I did not give that ring to Sarah. I want you to know that. I did not. No, I did not. But I was crushed. And at least at that time, I swore off women. I mean, I don't ever want to get close to another woman and have someone, you know, in that big a part of my life as that previous girl was. And then, of course, it was just a little while and I met Sarah. And when we first met and we first started dating, I swore to myself I wasn't going to get serious. And then a day came when God made it very, very clear to me, son, this is the one I've chosen for you. And so I asked her to marry me. I even was old-fashioned enough to ask her daddy. You know what her daddy did when I asked him if I could marry his daughter? He cried and walked away. Honest truth, he cried and walked away. Now, I did get his approval, but he cried and walked away. Pardon? Because, yeah, that's Sarah is his only daughter. She has a stepsister, but a half-sister, yeah. But anyway, he cried and walked away. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because this September we'll celebrate 52 years of marriage, and we enjoy being together still. I mean this with all my heart. If I had to choose one person to be on a deserted island with, and that's the only one I'd ever be with, it'd be Sarah. She means that much to me. The reason I bring that up is because God made that happen. It wasn't my planning. It wasn't what I intended. It wasn't what I was planning or thinking it was going to happen or whatever. But I'm looking back over all these years and I'm thinking about how God made all that happen. And I have to thank the Lord. Yeah. I have to thank the Lord because my limited reasoning and understanding wouldn't have made that happen. Only God can make that happen. When men forget God, they are left to their own limited reasoning and resources. And you know what? When we're left to our own reasoning and resources, sometimes we'll make the right choice, but a whole lot of times we won't. And it won't work out well. Second thought, the dangers of forgetting God. When men forget God, please hear all these because I believe God gave me these. But when men forget God, life drifts off its true course. When men forget God, life drifts off its true course. God, who's in charge of all, has a plan for your life. Remember, He sees your whole life at once. When you forget Him and you start making your own decisions, your life is going to drift off its true course. And you'll still survive, probably. You'll still enjoy different parts of life, probably. You may have a nice family. You may have a nice job. You might drive a nice car. But your life is drifting off its true course. And then one day when you stand before the Lord and you give an account before Almighty God, guess what? You didn't follow the course that was mapped out for you. Sometimes it works out horribly. Sometimes it works out, you know, fairly well, but the key thought is here, following the true course that God has designed for your life. Again, when men forget God, they're left to their own limited reasoning and resources. Number two, when men forget God, life drifts off its true course. Thirdly, when men forget God, life falls below its highest potential. When men forget God, life falls below its highest potential. What is God's highest potential for you? I can tell you what it is for me. At least for this moment where I am in life, it's to pastor Stoughton Baptist Church. Foolish. Notice there was just one weak amen. You heard that, right? Just one weak amen. It's okay, because I'm fulfilling God's highest potential for me. You don't have to like it. It's okay. But you understand what I'm saying. Doing what God wants you to do, see? There's a lot of jobs where I could make more money. Sure, there's a lot of things that people could do. I mean, not just me, but you or me or anyone could do that could fulfill every quote-unquote human desire. You know, you could do a lot of different things, but what does the Lord want? See, your highest potential is what does the Lord want? What does He want for your life? Where does He want you to be? What does He want you to be doing? Fulfilling your highest potential. When men forget God, first of all, they're left to their own limited reasoning and resources. Secondly, they drift. Their life drifts off its true course. Thirdly, their life falls below its highest potential. Fourthly, life is spent, when men forget God, life is spent, you ready? In the service of lesser gods. When men forget God, life is spent in service of lesser gods. The Old Testament is full of examples. Every time Israel got away from God, they still served gods, but it wasn't the God, Jehovah God, Almighty God, the God of heaven and earth. No, they served lesser gods. And we were touching on some of this morning in the adult Sunday school class. There's a lot of different gods in America. One of the greatest ones is self. And then, of course, there's materialism, and there's sports, and there's leisure, and there's all kinds of others. But America has strange gods also that they serve. And I'm just going to say it one more time. When men forget God, they spend their life in service of lesser gods. We got to be careful about that. Number, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's a fifth one. How many you got? Just 6. Here's a fifth one. When men forget God, life becomes a bitter, hopeless struggle. When men forget God, life becomes a bitter, hopeless struggle. I know of individuals, I've met probably many of you do too as well, people who call themselves Christians who walked away from God, and their life ever since has been nothing but struggle. Moving from job to job, moving from place to place, moving from, you know, mate to mate, moving from this to this, they never settle down. They never have that peace and security and, you know, just God's hand of blessing on them. Their life is just a constant, bitter, hopeless struggle. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The folks like this I'm thinking of, they're a good example of exactly what God said. The way of the transgressor is hard. Better for all of us to remember God and live for Him and serve Him. Because without Him, life becomes a bitter, hopeless struggle. Last thought, when men forget God, they're left to their own limited reasoning and resources. Their life drifts off its true course. Their life falls below its highest potential. Their life is spent in the service of lesser gods. Their life becomes a bitter, hopeless struggle. And finally, when men forget God, they ultimately perish. They ultimately perish. Look at verse 19 and 20, would you, in our text? Verse 19, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, all of this is meant to you and to me as well to be just a reminder. God has given us 250 wonderful years as a nation. I feel like, just my own personal opinion, I feel like as a whole, I'm not speaking of you, but I'm speaking about as a whole in America, we are forgetting God. We're heading down a very dangerous path. Thankfully, there are enough of us left who are salt and light, right? Who are preserving this land. We are really God's preservative in many ways to the land of America. And I think as long as there is a faithful remnant here, we will not see the full force of God's wrath or anger or upsetness at men forgetting God. But just imagine when the rapture takes place and that faithful remnant is taken home to heaven. And we know this from prophecy, don't we? The wrath of God will fall. The wrath of God will fall. So I want to encourage all of us today who are here and those who might be listening to the recording later, let's not forget God. Let's remember where all these good blessings and all these good things come from. The mighty hand of God, who though he's unseen, he's very much active in this world and in this nation. And by the way, also in this church and in your life too. One more thought and I'm done. Remember the book of Esther? We went through that together not that long ago. In the book of Esther, God's name is not mentioned once. Not one time. But you'd have to be blind to not see his hand. Right? It's throughout the whole book. I think it's true of America as well. And I just want to remind us, I wish the whole nation could hear this. Let's not forget God, because he's the one that's provided all these good things. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed, and no one's looking. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could spend together this morning. Boy, we've sung some wonderful songs, some hymns, some patriotic hymns. We've had the Lord's Supper together. We heard a beautiful offertory today, and we've heard a message that reminds us not to forget who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, help us to not leave that all here, but help us to take it with us and live it out in the days to come. I pray that you'll help us to be the kind of people that you need us to be, the kind of people that you want us to be. Help us to live in a way that pleases you always. Bless this invitation, please. In Jesus' name, amen.